Awake. Stand up for Jesus. I think I said it, or maybe the cross overnight or something. And I said, this is the year we must be determined to go the extra mile for God. Praise God. During the meeting today, I'm going to give out some awards. And one of the awards I'm giving, I think one or two, I have titled it the Extra Mile Award. Amen. I have titled it the Extra Mile Award. This year, God is looking for people that are ready to go the extra mile. And by the way, I want to thank God for everyone that is seated here. What I'm getting this morning is that even if one Sunday this year I say we're starting our service by 7 o'clock, I will still have men and women who will be here by 7. Amen? Amen? I will still have somebody who will stand there as an usher. I will still have a choir that will sing. If I say tomorrow, next Sunday, we're having our service by 7 o'clock in the morning. That's what God is looking for. One of the things this year, people, that we must do to enjoy God's favor is to go out of the usual. This is the way we used to do it. Why must the pastor tell us to come and start service by 9 o'clock? No, you are still living in the old. We must be ready to go the extra mile. We must be ready to think and act outside the box. We must be ready this year to do something different for God, the people of favor. One of our sisters, when she was leading us during the week, over the telephone prayer, which some of us here do not call in, the title she led us to pray on is Creating the Atmosphere for God's Favor. We agree, favor comes from God. But you have something to do. You have to create the atmosphere for God's favor. So what I want to share with us briefly this morning, before we go into our meeting, is still along that text that Sister Udot led us to pray for, creating the atmosphere. And I am going to pick chiefly from the Bible study outline of our Mommy and Major last Tuesday. And in fact, if you look at the bulletin you have, the sermon you have there is a reproduction of her Bible study outline for Tuesday, which she titled God's Favor for Us in 2020. Yeah, God's favor is for us all in 2020, but then also you need to create the atmosphere for it. Praise God. You want God's miracle, create the atmosphere for God's miracle. As an individual, as a family, as a church, you want God's miracle and visitation, do something, and then you would get it. She defined favor, which also I have defined. I think someone else who has preached and taught defined favor. If you look at when I was rounding off on Tuesday after her Bible study, and I said, go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and take it from verse 1 to the end, you will see a list of people that we call the heroes of faith in the Bible that enjoyed the favor of God. There were people that did something. Most of them, he said, they did this and they did this, and it was accounted unto them by God for righteousness. So if you must enjoy God's favor, your right standing, your righteousness, creates the atmosphere for God to come and release unto you. You cannot be far from him, like I have always illustrated here. And I said, if I want to give this to you, take it, and you are sitting right there, no matter how much you stretch your hands, you cannot get it. Right? Is that right? No matter how much from there you stretch, you cannot get it. But get it, and you rise up there, and you come close by here without effort, without struggles, without strife, without battles. You get it. That is the way that it is with God. So this year, the people of God's favor must be people that go the extra mile to go close and closer to this God. Build an unusual relationship with this God. Have an unusual fellowship with this God. Go back to the beginning when God created Adam and Eve. God prepared everything. I mean, it was more than palaces that God built for them. Furnished it. They did everything for them. They did not struggle for it. And God put them in that garden. And as long as they lived in good relationship with God, God would always come down to them to have fellowship. Praise God. In the morning, hi, Adam. How are you, Adam? How was your night? And they were discussing. Oh, Eve, where is your wife, Eve? And they were discussing very freely. I know Adam's always so mug. I know God. Well, God is coming a bit late today. That fellowship was on. But something happened. When Adam and his wife went far away from God, there was a kind of cut off. A vacuum was created. Fellowship was no more there. Amen. These people that were always waiting for God. The next you found was that the Bible says, and they went and hid themselves from God. You must remember that God did not initially drive them out of the garden, right? They were the ones that ran away to hide themselves. Is that right? They were the ones that ran away. Just like many church people today are running away from God. Just like many church people today, you cannot even say this is where they stand or this is where they stand. Just like many church people today, you have to wind and wind and wind them before they do anything. I was glad yesterday when I called somebody where I said, Pastor, you know, we are trying, you know, this service tomorrow early in the morning. We are preparing, putting things together ready so that in the morning, and I saw the result of that today. So when God came for the usual fellowship, Adam and Eve were not there. Where God used to meet them for fellowship. And God began to ask, Adam, 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 where are you? Where are you? He became a stammerer. I heard your voice in the garden, and I knew that I am naked, so I went and hide myself. Oh, really? Amen. Run away. And like I've always said here, one Greek interpreter of that experience said that God was saying, Adam, Adam, why are you where you are now? Is that where I put you? So they missed the favor of God. They walked out. They walked on their own, walked out of the favor of God. People of God, you know that God's miracle can be yours every day if you create the atmosphere for God to come close. I think it's Malachi 3, is it not verse 6? I said, from the days of your fathers, you have walked far away from me. Can I see that, please? I think it's Malachi 3, 6. And then I'll go to read the scriptures that I want to use for today's service. Sermon. Quickly, Malachi chapter 3. Is it on the screen? Give me verse 6. Let me see. Okay, I think that's what I want. I, the Lord, I do not change. So, you, the descendants of Jacob, are not consumed. Amen. Okay, how would you interpret? I don't know. Don't take it away yet. How would you interpret that statement? I, the Lord, I do not change. So, you, the descendants of Jacob, are not consumed. How would anybody interpret that statement for me? That's God talking there. Who would interpret that? Okay, doctor? Covenant-keeping God. Okay. Brother John, you were raising your hand. Okay, Mama. I stand by my promise. Okay, you raising your hand? Okay. So, who are the chosen ones today? You. Even with you being the chosen one, I do not change. Assuming I change, you would have all been destroyed. Assuming that I am as unfaithful. You know, many church people are very unfaithful. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Many, let me tell you. I know, say, come on, we are starting the service by 9. It's just once in a year we do that. I can assure you that. There are some people that would have debated it behind. Why must we, you know? Sunday is the only day I should wake up a little. Why must I get to church by 9 o'clock? No, that is too early for me. Some people would have debated it behind. God is saying, if I had not been an unchanging God, at that time you're all there arguing and debating and debating and grumbling and complaining, I would have taken my hands and just turned my back at you. Then what would happen? Destruction. God is saying you are still enjoying the favor and the grace and the life and everything, even at the time that you fail and disappoint me, because I don't change. I maintain my covenant promises. I fulfill my word and so on. Give me the next verse. Give me the next verse quickly. Okay, look at this. That's actually where I'm going. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and you have not kept them. In other words, you have been unfaithful. If I must enjoy God's favor this year, if I must enjoy God's visitation this year, I must be a faithful Christian. I must turn back from the unusual, I mean from those usual. This is the way that we do this things here. No, we must get out of this. This is the way. Do it. Number one, the way of God. Number two, do it the way that it should be done. We don't, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be war without. And I don't believe in that. Change is constant. And change is the only thing that never changes. Amen. You have turned away from my. Now, he says here, look at the medicine to the whole thing. Now, return to me, and I will return to you. Praise God. Can somebody say with me this year, 2020, I will return to God. You know, there are many people in the church that are very far. Though they're seated here, they're far from God. You know that? Those seated here, all of all, oh, praise God, they're far from God. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, God will do his own and do, exercise patience, everything. But the time will come when God may decide, okay, fold his hands and watch you. Is that right? So now, you take this step. As we go to our meeting today, we're going to begin to, we did this. Some will come out there and say, we did it, whether they did or not. But there are many who did not do nothing. But they will come and say, oh, we did. Okay. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. What I'm talking about is creating the atmosphere for God's favor. When the sister led us some 3-4 days ago, I enjoyed that, creating the atmosphere for God's favor. One of the ways to create, the number one step to creating that atmosphere, sit down and evaluate my life. Sit down, take a stock. How did I do with God? How did I serve God? How did I live for God in the year 2019? Return to me, and I will return to you. That would mean to me that if I decide to go far away, God will do everything to take us back. But if you still decide to remain far away, well, it also will be there. You're standing there, he's there looking at you. He said, return. In the returning, you come. You cross that borderline. Crossing this borderline would mean living my old life, life that is not pleasing to God, back to live the life of God. Crossing this borderline would mean going the extra mile for God, different from the way that I served God last year. Crossing the borderline would mean living for God in faithfulness. And I've always told this story here of one of those that found favor with God, Enoch, who never died. God just took him away. Amen? Amen? He crossed the borderline. He went the extra mile. And the way I tell this story here, I remember several times, I said that there was this small girl. And in school, their teacher asked them to tell her the story of Enoch. Who was Enoch? And this small girl said, me. And then, who is Enoch? He said, Enoch was God's friend. Some of us always say, well, it's a small girl, but that is the real truth. He said, Enoch was God's friend. He said, every time God will come and visit Enoch in his house, and each time God was going, Enoch will escort God. You know, we used to do it many years ago when we were small, when we were still schoolboys. Maybe she visited me. And then she's going, I would escort her, and we go to that part. When we reach there, instead of going, she would turn again and begin to follow me. Sister Helen knows that she's smiling. He follow me. After that, I will still go again. Go, all of you, go to your homes. He said, and Enoch, God would always visit him. This particular day, he said, they were so intimate. God was holding his hands, and he was holding hands, and they were going and going. And when they got to the point, Enoch was saying, okay, God, let me go back. And God said, no, you're not going back. Now, I've been coming to see. Why don't you follow me today and come and know where I live? Because he was God's friend. Praise God. So Enoch followed God to his house, and that's how he never came back. God found him as a man who would live with him. He was a friend of God. He found favor because he created the atmosphere for that favor with God. Praise God. Quickly, let me, on Tuesday she told us, she listed many points, 12 points. And she said, one of the things you must do, people, if you must enjoy God's favor this year, is that you must love God. Amen. You must love God. If I love him more than you have ever loved him, that's my determination, God, that this year I want to serve you more than ever before. You must love God. And let me take one of the scriptures that Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Can I see that on the screen? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love God. He said, love the Lord your God. With what? With what? With what? With what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not here. One leg is here. One leg is there. Do for God what you must do for him. This year. The time you're at home watching television, is that the time you should be in church? Is that the time you should stay home? The time of Sunday school, is that the time to still be sleeping in the house? You know, some people miss the praise and worship part of the service. Amen? Some people miss the praise and worship part of the service. Praise and worship part of the service is one very important and one key part of the service you must not miss. In an environment where there is true praise and worship, your heart is lifted up unto God. And that's why also in a real spiritual environment, the choir would have come to finish singing. And immediately after the choir, the preacher goes to preach. Because praising and worshiping God takes you, lifts you up high. And then you're ready to receive. And the Holy Spirit begins to plant those words in your heart. People that will enjoy God's favor are people that love the Lord, their God, with all their hearts. And with all their soul. And with all their strength. Praise God. With all their heart. That is creating the atmosphere for God's favor. So we must be ready this year. Man, woman, people of the tabernacle of his presence must be ready this year to love God. Remember, Jesus was asking Simon Peter, do you love me more than these things? What are those things that were distracting his attention? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus would have been saying inside him, are you sure, Peter? What about? He asked him again, do you love me? Lord, but you know that I love you. Okay. Feed my sheep. And then the third time he asked him, are you sure, Simon Peter? Maybe that's a question also that goes for us. Lawrence Amajo, Pastor, do you love me? It's possible to preach, teach, be a worker, sing, and all that, yet you don't love God. If we're doing all these things and we are still doing things that are against the will of God, where is the love? You must love the Lord with all, not part of your heart. And with all your soul, and with all your strength. Remember many years ago, when we were in the choir, I think I was the choir master then, of one of our big churches. And I would always lead praise and worship. By the grace of God, each time I led praise and worship, people, I go, oh, brother, oh, thank God for that. And here came this Baba William. That man loved, an old man, but he loved God. Amen. He joined the choir. He was singing tenor. I'm a tenor singer. Although as a good musician, you must be able to sing treble, alto, tenor, bass, which I sing very well. One day after leading praise and worship, he came. He said, "My son, I thank God for your life. Although I am now born again working for God, but I would have been a happier Christian if I had known God at the age where you are now. And if I had been able to do for God what you're doing now. Now I love God at my old age. There's nothing much I can do for God." Does that statement mean anything to anybody? Now is the time. All your heart, with all your strength, and all your soul, and with all your strength. She told us that is one of the ways to create, number one way to create that atmosphere for God's favor or miracle. Can you go down? These commandments that know. Is that the next one? Okay. Praise God. Loving God with all your heart. Then let me look at the scripture that I read on Tuesday. I think it was on Tuesday I read that scripture. I was on Roundup. Then we take the tithe and offering, and then we go into the meeting. Can you give me Proverbs chapter 3? And of course, on Tuesday, I asked them to give me the message translation. So I need the message translation. Proverbs chapter 3, message translation. I'm actually going to verse 5 and to verse 12. Look at that. Trust God. This is one of the ways to create that atmosphere for God's miracle, God's favor. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Praise God. So how would you define the bottom of from the bottom of your heart? How would you define trusting God from the bottom of your heart? Yes. How would you define that? Mama Bini, talk to me here. When they say make you trust God from the bottom of your heart, how would you preach that, Mama Bini? I use all my heart. That's the meaning of from the bottom of your heart, Mama Elizabeth. 100% trust in God. Who again? From the bottom of your heart. Bramiola. I didn't want to hear that bottom. What in that bottom of your heart mean? You're right. Very right. Very right. But you raising your hand? Everything. You know, Mama Bini would always say, you see that prayer when I pray, it's with my heart well. Mama said, I saw you they talk sometime. It's with my heart. Trust the Lord your God with that sweetness. Let that sweetness. You want to serve God. You want to love him. You want let it come with your heart willingly, sweetly from all of every part of you. Amen. So anytime when Mama talked that, and I say, it's with my belly well. You know, trust the Lord your God from your belly well. I'm preaching Mama Vinay's sermon now. Praise God. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. That is one key to creating the atmosphere. Loving God. Don't let those your friends at work. Don't let those your friends at school. Don't let those your unbeliever friends take you away from God or take your heart away from God. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Amen. Don't try to figure out from your human imagination, from your calculations, from your everything, and then you go the wrong way. Number three, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Praise God. Listen for God's voice. In other words, this thing I'm doing, now, what is God saying about it? And this is where people of God, of the Union Foursquare Church, this is where your pastors come in. God has put these pastors as shepherds over you. Sometimes you get confused about certain things. Go to your pastor, sit down and say, this is what I want to do. This is, I'm confused. And all that. What do you say? You are well guided. Praise God. You are well. If you are guided, you will not fall into error. Listen to God's voice. In everything you do and everywhere you go. Amen. In everything and everywhere. He is the one who will keep you on track. Amen. Right, well, without him, you will go off the track. And then there will be a problem. He's the one to keep you on track. He said, don't assume that you know it all. And many times you find that some Christians are difficult to correct. They don't want correction. The pastor corrects them, or their head of department, or their head of ministry corrects them. They get offended. I'm not even doing that work anymore. I don't even want to sing anymore. I don't even want to teach anymore. As if they are doing the superintendent or the pastor or the choir master a favor. They get offended. Why must the pastor, why must that leader talked to me that way. That's why he is your leader. He's there to correct you. Do you know, as your pastor, if I stay here and say that I don't want to offend anybody, then I am not a true pastor. Amen? As a pastor, I should be ready to offend anybody. I should be ready to have some people get angry with their pastor. But people actually who are growing spiritually don't get that angry with their pastor because he's correcting them. Then he says, run to God. Amen. Run to God. Even from now, from this, I think this thing is echoing much. Run to God. Amen. What does it mean to run to God? Alagwa.
Run to God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
The righteous run.
Run to God. Cloudin, what does that mean? How would you interpret that? Run to God. Always go to him before. How can you go to him always? All your beliefs in God. Run to God. And then he said, run from evil. Run away from everything ungodly and make sure you are on the path of the Lord. That's what I like. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I said, and I will dwell in the presence. I like that word, presence. Because wherever you are, the presence of God is there. Amen. Your body, then, when you do all that, when you run to God, run from evil, he says, your body will glow with health. Praise God. This is where God's favor comes in now. Your body will glow with health. You know, the health from God becomes yours overall. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Amen. Your bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Are we getting it? Honor God with everything you own. Of course, you don't even own anything. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Say, who makes you to differ from one another? And he says, what do you have that is not a gift from God? And he says, if you know it is a gift from God, he said, why do you boast as if you have not? You know, in school, I worked extremely hard. I worked. That's why I made A. It's very good to work very hard. You know, there are some others who have worked harder than you, but they have not reached the level or the point where you are. Amen. There are others who have worked harder than you. Most times, if you see these people that dig the gutter and do the road, when they, there's that thing they put up. Amen. When I see, I'm sure those people, when they get back home, all their body will be. And yet, some of you just drive out in the morning, your air conditioned car from your air conditioned room. You drive to work. Maybe you have a separate office, in an air-conditioned office. You work, yet you earn more than those people, many of those people who are there working far harder than you. God's favor. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Praise God. Your very bones will vibrate with what? With life. Even at your old age. And then honor God with everything you own. It's not this one that too many people, you beg them. Why don't you bring your tithe to God? Why don't you bring offering to God? This building, something you pledged, many of us pledged. I will be giving $50 every month. I will be giving $100 every month. When did you pay last? When did you bring that last? When? Yet the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 5 says, if you have made a vow to God, it is very important that you fulfill it. And then he says, for it would have been better not to make any vow at all than to vow and not fulfill it. Praise God. So that's what you see, many of us are still living by God's grace, enjoying everything by God's grace. That's why God will say, because I don't change, I'm still faithful. I keep to my words, I keep to my promises. That's why you are still living. That's why you're not consumed yet. For this God is our God, is our God forever. And ever, he will be our God. Love God with all your heart. Praise God. Number two. Just read everything on that outline. Like I said, it's a reproduction of last Tuesday Bible study outline. Number two, you must do this year is to love others. And like I keep saying here, this church is a family. Amen? Not, when I in place we say, it's a family. Oh, it's Amajo Family Church. No, that's not what we mean. And that's why I keep saying, I said, there's no Yoruba in this church. There's no Igbo in this church. There's no American in this church. There's no Haitian. There's no Spanish in this church. Amen?
Although I agree we're all, but the thing is that we are all members of one family. Which family is that? The family of God. We are. If you say you love God and you don't love your brother or sister in the church, what kind of love is that? Amen. What kind of love is that? Like I have always said here, the church is supposed to be another heaven on earth here, a picture of heaven right here on earth. We are like our mama has just come here. Somebody invited her and she came to church. I don't know how many people would have known her name by now. I have fault in that. I have not asked her for her name. I have not. I don't know whether my wife has got her name. I don't know whether the FWI president has got her name. Do you know her name? Mama Ikuku stand and make everybody say, well. Praise the Lord. Okay, her name is Maria. You see, that's why you need to know that. And my daughter there, remember the day she said, that's my mom, my real mom. And I always say, this is not an adopted mom. Praise God. Where we love. Fellowship. A new person come like our mommy Maria is here. Almost all the women rally around our mommy. Oh, mommy, how are you? What do you do? Where are you living? For how long have you been in this country? Oh, blah, blah, blah. I know that. Mommy, can I follow you? Even that day, some people, I know mommy, I think my daughter should be driving. Maybe mommy. I know that. Mommy, enter motor. I want to follow you to your house today to know. Wasn't that what happened to Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus, the very day, the tax collector, rich man, was duping everybody. The very day, the master wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus came and said, Zacchaeus, you know what? Come down. I'm following you to your house, and I'm going to eat with you. Fellowship. I said, look at this one. I said, son of God. You see how he's following this tax collector to go? Sinner. Love one another. Okay, quickly, let me read the scripture. You see, the sermon I'm preaching covers also the exhortation at the meeting. I'm not preaching at the meeting anymore. Alagwa. You know. Amen. So this day is good to really talk to us, church people, from the Word of God, preparing us for the new year we've entered. We all tried, but many of us didn't do well in the past year. We tried. God is looking for men and women that will go the extra mile. Love others. Let's see Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. And then get ready, Matthew 25, 35 to 40. The other point, I'll just mention it and then we go. Then he said to his servants, is that something? Is that Matthew what? 22:8. No. It's not 8. 22 verse 39. Then he said to his that's where I'm going. That's what I want. And the second commandment is like this. It's like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? See these two persons here. It's a mom, it's a person. Who's your neighbor? Bro Emmanuel. Who's your neighbor? No. Who's your neighbor? All men that you have access to, Pastor Adebayo, who's your neighbor?
Somebody that you live with. That's another theory, okay? Somebody that you live with in the same compound, in the same neighborhood. That is our general and common interpretation of neighbor. Brother Motaya, who is your neighbor? Friends and enemies. Our sister, I'm seeing you for the first time. Our mommy, who's your neighbor? And welcome to this church anyway. I'm not sure you've been here before. Okay, you see how we are doing it? He's preaching, but we discuss it. Who's your neighbor, ma? As far as all of us are here, we are neighbors. Yes. Anybody that is with you at any particular point in time, anywhere, that is your neighbor. You are a teacher in school. Those, your colleagues, those children that you teach and all that, those are your neighbors. Like I said, our general and common interpretation of neighbor is the one that lives next to you. So he was very right. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. Even when some of them are unlovable, love them. We are ministering and said, where are the Bibles? I was telling somebody some few days ago at the airport there. I said, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Husband and wife, submit yourselves one to another. The next verse, wife, submit yourself, submit unto your husband in everything. Full stop. And then I think from verse 25 to about 30 something, now God began to talk to the man. Husband, love your wife and all that. And I would always ask, why is it only one verse? Wife, submit. Although some of them don't submit. Submit to your husband in everything. And then husband, for having about 6, 7, 8 verses to himself. I said, there must be something there. That means, man, you have a lot of work to do. Praise God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even in the church. The church that is supposed to be a picture of heaven on earth should be a place of love. Husband, maybe I come to church just like Pastor Debaya is always sitting with his wife here. He's always in. I have husband and wife sit together if you are here together. Amen. Doctor is always sitting with his sir. Yeah. Out. Okay. Heart trouble. Okay. Okay. His heart trouble. Okay. Sometimes they mention something here. The wife will tell you, say, did you hear that? Maybe the husband will say, did you hear that? That's one of the great things. But although if you are here and your wife is a worker or your husband and you're not sitting together, no problems. Maybe going around the usher and all that. Love your neighbor as word yourself. Everyone around wherever you are. They should see Christ in you. In the church. And if in the past year there's anybody sitting down here that says, I don't like that. Myself and that sister, we don't flow. No. We don't flow. We don't. Don't be that man that was fighting with somebody. And they were trying to say, they said, look, we can only settle our quarrel in heaven. And I said, who said to you that there is settlement of quarrel in heaven? If you don't do it here, it's hell, hell, hell. Onrakpabi. Akbadi, at least I communicated something. If you say I know, do come talk Igbo here. Amen. You see, if there is anybody here, seriously now, and you say, me and that sister, we don't flow, we don't agree,
you are blocking your way for God's favor. You are not creating a thorough atmosphere for God's favor. I should expect some youth minister, youth president to have gone to this, my daughter, and say, come. I don't know how many of them, they may have done that. Even some of us, the bigger, oh, my daughter, what's your name? What do you do? Which school? Where do you work? And so on and so forth. Fellowship. Relationship. And I want us to do that this year. So before Claudine goes, I want you to go to that lady and talk with her. Take her as your friend. I know you're probably going back to school today. And communicate with that friend. I was talking with her last Sunday. I said, keep growing, keep growing. You know, you get to the point, you'll be singing with these guys. Oh, my God. Amen. If there is anybody you don't flow well, make it right today and go and flow well. You must flow with the person. Begin to flow well. What if Jesus comes? Do you think he will accept any reason for you are not flowing well with anybody? Praise God. As I round up, the meeting starts exactly at 11. The next point in her outline, which I took, he said, you must hate what God hates this year. Amen. You must hate. I think what one of the things I'm going to be doing this year, as any of these leaders come here to teach Bible study, many of us don't attend, I will reproduce the Bible study outline. Possibly, I will still preach from that part of there, something that we get it, we hear it. Hate what God hates. Let's quickly read the scriptures, I round up, and then we're going to take the tithe and offering. And what are the scriptures? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. Hate what God hates. Look at this. She amplified that on Tuesday. There are six things that the Lord hates. Praise God. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. King James will say, and seven of them are abomination. Haughty eyes. What is haughty eyes now? Proud eyes. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. You know, you may correct me if I'm wrong. You know, it's not only when you carry a knife and kill a person that you have murdered. Is that right? Everybody saying yes, yes, yes. Okay, Bramiola, can you amplify that? You can slay somebody with your mouth. Somebody has come to church. The church is supposed to be a place of refuge. The church is supposed to be a place of hope for the hopeless. The church is supposed to be a healing place for the one that is wounded in spirit. Somebody has hurt and messed them up there, and they're coming to church to find peace. Some joy, some comfort. You know, somebody coming for the first time. Can sit there. No, I like to sit here. I said, go and sit there. You wound the person sad. For the first time, ideally, the way that some of those coming for the first time, in fact, the ushers should give them a good handshake. We are so big a church that the ushers should be able to know who is coming for the first time, who is not regular here. Give them a good handshake. In fact, if possible, take their bags and Bible, please come, come, come. Give them a quality place. If they say no, 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 okay. For the first time, let them sit there. Amen. Many years ago, as I round up, we had a man that came to our church, one of the churches we pastored. Saturday, I was ready talking with my evangelism team to go for evangelism. I looked out. I saw this man and his wife. They're brand new people. The voice began to say to me immediately, go up, leave everything, hand over to somebody and go and meet them. Hello, sir. How are you doing? I'm the pastor of this church. Okay, he said, his name is this. Can we talk with you? Of course, yes, come. We got into the church, into my office. A very well, tastefully furnished office. Beautiful office. The television is here with all these cassettes and video clips and all that. The fridge is there, well loaded. As I sat down on the couch, gave them drinks and everything. They were listening to mild music and all that. The next I had, I said, this is good. This is good. Praise God. I said, may I know you? And the man said, well, I am so person. We came from one of these quality churches from Festac area. So, but we live here in Suriname, a businessman. We are looking for a place to worship here. So we went to So Church, another four square, our big four square church. He said, we saw benches. They were using benches there, and we don't like that kind of place. And the place they were practicing, like down there. So how can we worship here? And besides, they were just, for the few times we started, they were just singing Yoruba song. Right there, they identified many things and all that. It's okay. And I asked them, how much of Foursquare do you know? So we don't know anything about Foursquare. Amen. Remember, they were drinking, they were fellowshipping. I took like 3 hours running through Foursquare Tenets of Faith. And the man said to me, besides, I am the president of the board of elders in that church. I said, in fact, automatically you have become an elder in this church. Praise God. I said, automatically, no negotiable, you have become an elder in this church. Till today, he still answers elder in that church. Amen. We brought another man, one of the churches who were chief. He was a chief. He can pick his call. Is that a governor this? Is that governor this? And they're talking. So he came to church. We are from the same place. When he came, he wanted to say, I want to come and see what you're doing in that place. I understand you are a pastor now. I said, yes, sir. And the very day he came to church, after listening, the Lord arrested him. Chief, dealing with governors and everything, that big person, I will not give him back seat at the back. Amen? You're doing everything to win him for God. These are the leaders of the church. I said, sit here with them. Sit there. And with, by God's grace, on and on and on, he became a quality and sound Christian. That is the way that it should be, please. The church touches the lives of people. This year, in that your ministry, with your personal life, with everything, you must be ready to touch the life of somebody. We must build for God together this year, not to scatter. Some of these are mamas who call me, Pastor, I want to come to 4 days ago. Mama called me, we were talking. He said, Pastor, I want to be coming to Bible study, but nobody to bring me. You can see that hunger in her heart. Should this be the kind of church where nobody should bring mama to church? Thank God for our people that have volunteered to be driving, Paul and Taiwo. But these ones are at work. And they close late from work. Wouldn't there be somebody that said, Pastor, which I'm going to be doing this year? Is there anybody to pick? A brother used to do that. By Sunday morning, Pastor, is there anybody that I need to pick this morning? One of our quality brothers. Is there somebody I need to pick? Where? Okay, brother, go here. He will run around and bring them and take them back. So Mama, if she wants to start coming to Bible study, in fact, she's ready from Tuesday. Somebody here. Pastor, I don't mind. I will be going to pick Mama and any other Mama here. Fellowship. Love the Lord your God. Like I said, we must be ready this year. Every one of us. Number one, think outside the box. Talk outside the box. Act outside the box. Go the extra mile. Do the unusual. These are things that create the atmosphere for God's what? For God's what? For God's what? What did I preach on today? Creating the atmosphere for God. Say it again. Let's rise now. Say it again. Can you say with me this year? 2020, I will in every way create the atmosphere for God's favor in my life. This year, 2020, I will think outside the box. I will act outside the box. I will relate outside the box. I will go away from the usual into an unusual and do the extraordinary. For building God's kingdom. For this God is our God. Ushers.